So Acts chapter 2, starting at verse number 37. It says, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him.' And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayers. All came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as they had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to the number those who were being saved." Church, I have been sharing for the past few weeks about our intention here as a church to relaunch and reinvigorate our small group ministry. And we see that this is being a very important piece and part of us growing as a church and as disciples. It is important that we all experience as disciples the blessing of meeting one another in smaller group settings. You see, we believe that in these settings, we will grow as individuals, and as we're growing as individuals, we will grow collectively as a body. You'll grow as a group. This church made up of many groups will grow as a larger body of Christ. Now, there is just simply something special and powerful that takes place in settings where we let our hair down. We take off our shoes and we get real with one another. We are authentic with each other when we get together in smaller groups. Now, it's so easy for us to come into here in a larger setting and hide. Hide the stuff that's going on. Hide some of the heavy burdens that we are carrying. Burdens, the word means something that is not meant for one person to carry. Yet, we have embodied this individualistic and self-sufficient sort of attitude and mindset and spirit that even when we have heavy burdens, we think that we're going to carry those by ourselves. And what happens is we end up being crushed by our own burdens. That's not meant for us to carry. And sometimes we come in a larger group with a burden on our heart, a burden on our mind. Something is just really eating at us. And it's easy to hide that in here. When we get into smaller groups, it's not so easy to hide. That's one of the reasons why there are some who are reluctant to be a part of a small group, because it compels you to share. When you get in a smaller group, when you start to get real with people, things start to come out and you begin to share things, but I'm telling you that's healthy, that's good, and that transformative things happen when we meet in these smaller group settings. So I pray that as we continue to go forward, we're looking for a time in about September where we're going to relaunch and maybe revamp some existing groups and start some newer groups. And I want you all, we pray that everyone here will be a part of these smaller gatherings. So it is our intention again to relaunch in September, and I am looking for leaders. I need leaders. I need hosts. I need some folks who are interested in participating in something that will transform lives, not just the lives of people in here, but even the lives of your neighbors and friends that you'll invite to your small groups. So I want you to go to Reynoldsburg.church, www.reynoldsburg.church. I've got a submission from about two of you. Go to this website. On the left side of the page, you'll see a box there where you can put your name, your phone number, your email, and I will contact you about some upcoming training events for small group leaders. If you want to lead and you're like, look, I just don't do the computer thing, that's fine. Please see me. See me as soon as possible so that I can put you down on the list and begin to communicate so we can figure out the best time to get together to jumpstart small group leadership training. In the upcoming weeks, as we at the end of July and beginning of August, we'll begin to unveil what we're thinking about some locations for small groups, and you can we all can begin to sign up as we get interested and get some more information about the locations of these groups. So it's my hope and prayer that everyone here will be involved in at least one small group gathering in this church. So for the past 3 weeks, basically what I've tried to do is to lay out a short, very simple theology and theory of small group that stems from this idea that God created us out of a context of relationship into a context of relationship. God did not create us to do life by ourselves. He did not create us to live life alone. Now, I realize that for some of us, you know, maybe you've never been married or you live single, that doesn't mean that God created you to live a single. He may have created you, or you may have chosen to stay unmarried, remain unmarried. That's something different. Even though you may live in a single existence right now in terms of marriage, God has created you, has created all of us to live in relationship with each other. But because of sin, sin broke the relationship, and we've been dealing with broken relationships ever since the beginning of time, after Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the forbidden fruit. And so relationships is what we are wired for, and because of sin, we have broken relationships. Because of sin, we have divorce. Because of sin, we have relationships being broken up because of addiction and poverty and some other things. I'll talk a little bit more about that later on. Jesus lived and flourished in small group communities. Jesus, yes, he spoke to crowds, and he would have those instances with crowds. But even if you read in the Gospels, for some reason, the Gospel writers wanted us to zero in on the conversations that Jesus had in small group gatherings. He would speak in crowds, but often after he spoke with the crowd, he would withdraw with a smaller group and talk more in more detail, in more depth. The writers, again, of the Gospels, they zeroed in on these small groups. And it was in those smaller groups and smaller communities that Jesus made some of his most transformational interactions and comments. Meeting together in smaller setting was a way of the life. It was a part of the way of life for the early church communities. In Acts, in the Acts reading that I just read, we're told of the life and practice of the early church community right after 3,000 people or so gave their lives to Jesus Christ. They were baptized into Jesus Christ. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we're told, how was life in the early church? The author of the book of Acts wants us to know, after they were baptized, this is how life was. Acts chapter 2, verse number 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayers. And then the author continues to describe the phenomenon of this new and emerging community, dropping down to verse number 46. It says, day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Do you see this rapid growth and kind of abnormal growth of this new community? And they took it serious, so serious that they met every day at the temple, in their homes. They ate together, they served with one another, they served each other. That was a natural expression that flowed out of their new life in God. The response of this new Jesus community, these Jesus followers, to their life in God was to meet together, to learn about God, to pray, and to break bread, to eat. Those of you who are familiar with this text, as I've stated earlier, know that this is a text that written by Luke. You know, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and wrote the book of Acts, and he seems to be doing something here. If you note that Luke is the first writing of this text, you know that it's not a mistake or it's not really a surprise that the early church community is doing what's being described here in Acts chapter 2, because when you read the Gospel of Luke, you see Jesus doing the exact same things all throughout the Gospel. You see Jesus meeting with people, eating with people, and teaching with people. And what do you see as the first activities that the church did? They were teaching, they were eating, they were meeting. Do you see how that mirrors? The Gospel of Luke is about the ministry of Jesus here on earth. The book of Acts is the ministry of Jesus as it's played through the church. Jesus here, Jesus there. When we see Jesus in Luke, we will see Jesus in Acts. When we read Acts, we ought to see and live what Acts is teaching. We ought to see Jesus here in this body. In Luke chapter 5, in verses number 27 through 32, we see Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners. And it's in that context of eating and meeting with people that he calls one of his apostles, Levi. In Acts chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, Jesus is eating with Pharisees, and there's where we get the story of the woman who came in so broken, and she cried on Jesus' feet and washed his feet, and Jesus talks about love. In Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17, we see Jesus feeding the 5,000. He had them break up into groups of 50. The way that Jesus ministered to 5,000 was to break them up into smaller groups. In Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, Jesus is at the home of his friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. That's where we get the discussion about, are you a Mary or a Martha? Are you someone who's so busy, or are you someone who's just kind of gazing into Jesus? In Luke chapter 11, verses 37 through 52, again, Jesus is eating with Pharisees and lawyers. I find it fascinating that as much as we talk about fighting with our enemies, we see Jesus eating with his enemies. In Luke chapter 19, that's the text where Jesus goes and eats at the home of the tax collector Zacchaeus. Hey, Zacchaeus, come down from there. I'm coming to your house today. In Luke chapter 15, before Luke 19, we read about Jesus eating with sinners again, and there was birthed the story of the lost son, the prodigal son, the story of the two sons. In Luke chapter 22, verses 14 through 38, Jesus is eating his last Passover. It's where we get the Lord's Supper. He ate that with his 12 apostles. In Luke chapter 24, verses 28 through 32, we see Jesus is at the home of some strangers that he met. This is post-resurrection. He's on the road walking to a town called Emmaus. He meets these two. They begin to talk, and share some things. They get to the house. They invite him in. They break bread. The text says that their eyes were open and they recognized Jesus. Prior to that, they didn't even know who they were talking to. But there we see again Jesus meeting and eating and teaching. In Luke chapter 24, post-resurrection again, we see Jesus eating with his apostles post-resurrection. Church, it was a natural expression of the new church community, new Jesus community of God to do what Jesus did when he was on earth. And since Jesus is still living among us, we still meet together in the name of Jesus to be just like Jesus. And just like Jesus, we meet with an expectation that God is up to something, that he is doing something, and that he will do something. And so in our meetings together, we speak and learn about God. For most of us, small group is simply that. It's a time to do a Bible study. For many groups in years past, the small group was based on the sermon that I would preach in the morning, and you'd get a guide and you'd go home and say, you know, things that are true, like, oh, the sermon was terrible, but let's do a Bible study and let's talk about the sermon. No, it's important that, you know, I don't just preach some things and then you just go like, yeah, that was an okay sermon, but man, It's kind of a wonderful thing to be able to go home and talk about, well, how do we apply this? And we talk about that in community and we spur one another. You know, maybe there's something that one person heard that someone else didn't hear, or maybe in the text there's something that I didn't touch or say, but it comes out while you're studying the Bible. That's one of the reasons why it's important to get together in small group community. In small groups, we pray. We spend time. There are times, probably some of you have stories where you got together with the intention to do a Bible study, but you spent the entire time praying. I believe that prayer continues to be one of the most underutilized gifts that we have in the body of Christ. You know, I've told you that, you know, every day this year, that there has been someone in this building praying for this church body. That streak is alive and continues. And you're welcome to join that. You're welcome to be a part of that. You're welcome to come to me and say, hey, Dion, I want to pray on Wednesday night. I want to pray on Thursday night. This Tuesday is our monthly prayer meeting. You're all welcome to come and to be a part of that small group gathering to just pray. In our small group gatherings, sometimes we eat. I know not every small group has a meal before your small group. I'll be honest and confessional. At the small group that was at my house for a long time, that took up the majority of the time. We got together and we just had a big spread and meal. And I'm not ashamed of that, because I believe that eating with each other is sacred space. There's something special. You know, when you're licking your fingers and taking the barbecue sauce off and talking and trying to talk through all that, there's something sacred about just getting around. You know, Joe said, Joe, you used to come to my house, and remember you come to my house and we just sit down and we just eat. We eat ourselves, and then we talk about God. We talk about the Bible. But there's something sacred about just coming together. On Wednesday nights, prior to when we did the cookouts, you know, Kim Johnson has been so generous and gracious to cook a meal for everybody, and we come and we sit around a couple round tables and we just eat and we talk and we laugh, and then we break off and watch a video and talk about God for about 5 or 10 minutes. That's sacred space. It's something special that takes place in our small meetings. And then a lot of times emerging out of our small group gatherings is ministry. Some of you probably have stories of meeting in your small groups and you're doing a Bible study and it clicks to someone, you know what? Hey, we should do this. We should go serve here. There's a story about over in Dayton, a group of men that started meeting at a cafe. It was about 4 or 5 of the guys. 2 of the guys were doctors, and they just started meeting together for a Bible study. You know, as they were progressing and getting closer to each other and beginning to reveal and open up about their hearts and their passions about ministry and things, the two doctors looked at each other and almost at the same time said, we need to do something. And out of that small group was born a medical mission that now goes to Jamaica every about 2 or 3 years, taking medical supplies. That was born out of a small group. It wasn't born out of a church, big church meeting that said we need to go to Jamaica. That was born out of 5 men that met at a diner for a Bible study. And now they send hundreds of people every year doing medical missions in Jamaica. But do you see all the things that I just mentioned? You see all of those things in the early church community in Acts chapter 2. You see them getting together, learning about God. You see them getting together and eating. You see them getting together and praying. And you see them getting together and serving. No one had need. They sold their possessions and gave it. They probably, in the midst of a small group, someone says, man, it's getting hard living here. I'm far from home. They say, oh, we got you covered. We're gonna take care of you. How many times in small groups, when you begin to get real and people express their needs, you didn't have to come to the larger church to do a special offering, but in that small group, you decided, you know what, we're gonna help. There is something powerful and transformative that takes place in small group communities. Church, when we do this, when we live like Jesus, we are impacted by Jesus, and we will have impact like Jesus. That's why the title of this sermon is Connecting to the Mission of God Here in Reynoldsburg. I believe that it will become clearer and clearer to us what it is God is calling us to do in Reynoldsburg and the surrounding areas when we begin to get authentic and real in small groups, when we begin to pray like crazy in small groups, when we begin to love like crazy in small groups. It's gonna be hard for us to love the people we don't know when we don't love the people we know. Does that make sense, church? We can learn to love the people we don't know by leaning into loving the people we do know. I took a class this past week in Dayton as part of my seminary journey, working on my master's degree. It's almost over, church. Pray for a brother. But I took a class called Bridges Out of Poverty. It was a wonderful, wonderful class. And some of the resources we use, you might be familiar with. It's a book called When Helping Hurts, a book called Toxic Charity, and a book called Bridges Out of Poverty. And the three resources, they're all speaking the same thing. They have some different, you know, one is more theoretical, one is more practical, one is kind of a good mixture of both. But they all work from the same premise. The premise is that typically the way that we try to address poverty is to just give people stuff. I know that's how I am. I just you ask me for something, well, you're here. And I think there's times that we do just need to just give. But doesn't it hurt when you give to someone and the same person comes back and needs the exact same thing again? And then they come back again and they need the exact same thing again. Then they come back and they need the exact same thing again. Well, the authors of these books will say that's toxic because you're not really addressing poverty, you're creating dependency. And what the books begin to talk about is that we need to come up with a different paradigm. But in order for us to come up with a different paradigm, we have to come up with a better understanding of what poverty is. And all three books, we're just in unison in terms of what is the real cause or what is the real deep symptom of poverty. And you know what it is? It's a lack of relationship. They all posit that when Adam and Eve sinned, we broke relationship. We broke relationship with God. We broke relationship with each other. We broke relationship with ourselves, and we broke relationship with creation. And that what many in poverty really need is not a handout. They need relationship. They need people to walk alongside them. They need people to give them dignity. A lot of times when we give handouts, we create this God complex that says you will always be there and I will always be here to help you. And that makes me feel good when I help people. But what about coming down to their level and really living where they are and seeing where they are? Those of you who've lived in another country and lived in poverty, you know what that means. You don't just hand them stuff. You have to live with them and you have to speak things into their lives and you need to try to bring them up. And the way you do that is through relationship. So if relationship is the key to bringing people out of poverty, what would happen if we in the body of Christ in our small group settings really begin to develop what it means to have good relationships with each other? And then out of that context of good relationship, seek to serve people by building relationships. I think that connecting in small groups, if we commit to it, now it's gotta be a group effort. It's gotta be all of us. We all, I think, need to commit to connecting with one another in small groups. It could be a small group that meets on Sunday night. It could be an accountability group with two or three people. It could be a ladies' Bible study that meets on Thursday mornings. It could be a men's breakfast that meets once a month. It could be a men's group at a cafe. It can be a ladies' Bible study at someone else's home. It could be a Bible study for married couples. It can be a Bible study or a small group for parents with small kids. It could be an interest group. It could be whatever, but you're connecting and you're building relationships in the name of Jesus as a way to fuel us to do relationship on the outside, to do relationship in mission with God, to bring people to Jesus Christ. When we do that, I think the commentary will be just like it was in Acts 2:47. The Lord was adding to their number every single day. They grew, church. They grew because they were changing lives through relationship. Again, I want you to search your heart, search your spirit, pray, and ask God if he is leading you right now at a moment like this to be a leader in our small group ministry, to be a leader in the home, to host it. You don't have to lead or read anything in the group. You can just open your home and say, I want it to be at my house. Or maybe God is really putting on your heart to really take this ministry and just lead it and take it to the next level. What we're doing now is just a jump start, hopefully that puts us on a journey of growth. But I believe that if we connect, we're gonna grow. I'm talking our hearts, our spirit. We're gonna grow. So go to the website, reynoldsburg.church. Sign up. If you don't wanna go to the website, come tell me, talk to me about being a leader, being a host, and being a part. And we're gonna get started as this summer heats up and begin to die down towards, when school starts back up, we're gonna ramp it up really big, begin to get you to start signing up for some groups, and we're gonna go in mid-September. We're gonna be well on our way. Ask the praise team if you want to come back up on the stage. My invitation to you has and will continue to be for you to connect with God, that you would know his love, that you would know that he cares for you, that you would know that he wants to be in relationship with you. Of all the broken relationships that was broken through the fall at creation, that was the most significant, that broken relationship with God. God has made a way for us to be in right relationship with him, to repair that relationship. Just put your faith and your trust in this God. Put your faith and trust in a God who loves you, who cares for you, and wants the best for you. And so this invitation is always an open invitation for those of you who just, you feel disconnected. Even for those of you who you've lived a life of faith in God, you just feel disconnected. This is an invitation for you to share that with the body, and we will surround you and pray for you and walk alongside you so that you can get a feeling and be reconnected to God. Or maybe you've never taken that step of making a connection with God in a way that publicly declares that Jesus, you are my Lord. Hosanna, you're my King. You are my God, you are my King, you are my Lord, you are my Master, you are my everything, and I wanna give my life to you. I wanna tell everybody, I wanna shout it from the mountaintop. I wanna live a life that is harmonious with what Jesus is calling me to do. I wanna say yes to him. You can make that profession of faith today and start the road to connection. We'll take you back there. We'll baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we will walk alongside you as you journey with God. Or maybe right now you feel disconnected because you're just hurting. Man, it's just been a bad week. Man, just things at home aren't good. Things at work just not good. This is an invitation for you to. We'll surround you, we'll pray for you, and we will be all that we can in order to walk alongside you in your walk with God. If there's something that you need from the church, please come as we stand and as we sing the song.